Well, you've all heard of what the almanac has to say, didn't you? We're going to have a terrible, terrible, terrible cold winter. One that we haven't had for a long time. So now we're having a heat wave, and then we're going to have a cold wave, and not another kind of wave God has for us, but we go with the flow, right? You know, then that Welcome Home song, I love that song, but he said, we're glad that you're here. And I was thinking, well, now that you got him here, what are you going to do with him? Amen. Come on. What are you going to do with him? You know, they're unsaved. When did you sang them in, and they said, we're glad you're here. Now, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to minister to them? Are you going to show them Jesus, or what are you going to do? You really need to start thinking. If you had 10 new people come through the door, what would you do with them? Oh, wow, we got a lot of people today. That's what you'd say. But what would you do with them? I really think we need to start thinking ahead of time so we know, understand that we are going to have a lot of work to do really quickly. And are you really ready to do the work really quickly? God says, I don't think so. He just said that. So that means that you're not ready yet to minister to the lost. Shame on you. Shame on you. Amen. Well, Father, I truly do thank you tonight, and I praise you, and I give you honor, and I give you glory. I want you, Father God, as you're looking down upon the Lighthouse Church, I want you to look at who's here, and I want you to give them an extra special blessing tonight. They came to sit at your table and eat fresh manna from heaven. They don't want the stale, Father God. They want the new, fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, you tell us if we're hungry and thirsty that you will feed us. And this is what we want tonight. We want something really good from you tonight, Father. Something we have never had before. And Father, you say if we ask, then we shall receive. So we're asking for something very special from you tonight. Whatever it is you have for us, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you notice that the bulletin has eagles on it, and what does it say? Where the does it say the eagles are gathering? Is that what it says across the top? I forgot what it said. Do who? Thank you. Everybody else is just looking at it, not telling me what it said. You know, that's how I come up with the bulletin fronts, because God will just give me just a short line like that, and I said, okay, then we go with it, you know. And he's been really dealing with me that we are eagles, and that he is gathering his eagles together, and these are the ones that he's going to use to do the great and mighty works that has to be done right now, not tomorrow, but right now. So what are you? Remember, I used to teach a long time ago, were you a chicken or are you an eagle? And so, have you made up your mind yet today what you are? Are you a chicken or are you an eagle? Are you walking around, you know, with your head in the ground, just plucking at the ground? Are you flying into the very heights of glory that God's called us into? You need to think about this, guys, because God is getting ready to do something really great and wonderful with each one of you. And he's given these little teachings to get you to think about where you're at and what you're able to do for him. Not everybody is ready to do for the things for God that you need to do. So you're still wondering where you're at, and still walking around looking at the ground, pecking at the pebbles down there that don't do anything for you. I want you to start looking up. God keeps, has always told me all my life, look up. Why does he keep telling me look up? Because that's where he's at. He's not down, he's up. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're going to keep going through it, so just be quiet and go through it. Amen. You know, as you read Paul, you know, he was in prison most of his time when he served God. But he encouraged the people, chewed them out, didn't he, from a prison cell. He didn't ask God to take him out of there. He just ministered to the people. Okay, where eagles gather. What does an eagle represent in the Bible? We are the eagle. All right. The wings of the eagles represent our faith and belief in God. The wind thermals the eagles fly on represent the Holy Spirit. Now, when I read that, I thought that's the truth, isn't it? All right. Now, get that down in your spirit. You are the eagle. The wings of the eagles represent our faith and belief in God. The wind thermals the eagles fly on represent the Holy Spirit. Now, throughout Scripture, eagles represent God's handiwork. Proverbs 30:19 says, "The way of an eagle in the sky is an example of God's wondrous creation." Eagle's wings was a figure of speech commonly used to attribute these fine characteristics to a person. And the Lord references eagle's wings in Exodus 19:1-6, which is a recollection of how God delivered Israel from the Egyptians. And in this passage, the Lord gives Moses a message for his people in Exodus 19:4-5. God said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." In other words, he saved them, he kept them. "Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among and above all peoples, for all the earth is mine." So he says, "I gathered you like eagle's wings. I kept you safe. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice in truth and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among and above all peoples, for all the earth is mine." If you do it, then God's going to continue to keep you, right? You can't do it one day and not do it the next. That's our problem in the body of Christ. We'll do it one day, and the next day we go right back down into the wherever we came from, right? And God's trying to get us on a steady keel, you know, where we'll just stay on the steady line, and we won't deviate from it. Now, the prophet Isaiah uses wings like eagles in the same way, attributing the great characteristics of eagles to those who remain faithful to God and look forward to their heavenly reward. The prophet Isaiah uses wings like eagles in the same way, attributing the great characteristics of eagles to those who remain faithful to God. You and I, remaining faithful to God, we have the same characteristics that the eagle has, all right? And look forward to their heavenly reward. You know, I don't know what God said this morning, but I remember he said, you know, a couple years ago to me, "Do not let anyone steal your crown." And, you know, we have to keep looking forward to our reward, our crown that we have in heaven, and don't allow the enemy to steal it from us. The phrase "mount up" is a translation of the Hebrew word "Allah," which means to go up, ascend, to go up over a boundary. Isaiah is communicating the promise that God will provide renewed strength and courage to overcome obstacles if Israel would only have patience and trust in the Lord's sovereign timing. You know, out where we live out there, you know, where Aaron and Adrian and I live, do you see the eagles out there? There's a lot of eagles in our area. And we see them, they fly over the house all the time. I just think they're so majestic. I really do think they're majestic. And you know, just watching them in the air, you know, as they circle around and they just glide, you know, it's just awesome to watch them. And so, when people look at us, to watch us should be awesome. How we just glide along with God and don't let things tear us down. And we just stay above the stuff of the world, and we just stay in the heavenly place. And, you know, when I watched the vultures would come where the eagles are at above our property there, and the eagles will keep soaring higher than the vulture goes. And so the eagle's always flying higher. So what about you and I? We should be flying higher than the world is. We're not the vultures. We're not of the world. We're eagles. And we should be flying in heavenly places. All right? You know, You know, I know, and anybody that has any common sense knows walking with God is a struggle. You know, because every day Satan throws something new at you. But God's told me if you will soar above that junk, you'll make it. But if you let that stuff that Satan throws at you hit you in the face, you're not going to make it. And I'm not saying that you you won't struggle with it. You will struggle with it. Because when Satan brings his stuff, it's usually not the same stuff that he used yesterday. It's something brand new, and it's something you have to work through all over again. But you have to keep working. You can't stop. All right, Job 39:27 is another example. But eagles also symbolize power. God often used the imagery of an eagle in ensuing warnings to Israel and other nations who did evil. And you find that in Obadiah 1:4 and Jeremiah 49:22. He chose the bird. You know, God chose the bird they considered powerful and unstoppable to demonstrate his sovereign control over everything. God chose the bird, the eagle, who was powerful and unstoppable. Are we powerful and unstoppable? Think about that. Or can an enemy come at us on the side road and knock us right off our feet? Devil, when you start flying up, you know? You get away from him real quick, like. All right? So what God is doing with the body of Christ today is he's trying to make us powerful and unstoppable. Well, he's trying to get us to realize we're powerful and unstoppable. And when the enemy comes, he has no place in us. Few animals inspire more awe and fascination than the eagle. Witnessing one of these powerful birds soar across the sky is truly a sight to behold. They are powerful and graceful. Fearsome predators, yet surprisingly sharp navigators. See that? We should have wisdom and know how to navigate and get above the enemies, whatever he's throwing at us. We can't just sit there and let him bombard us with all of his trash. We have to have wisdom. Okay, it's time to fly higher. And I believe with all my heart that every day is a time to fly higher. Because what the enemy does, he comes at you where you're at, and he's familiar with you, and what you have to do is outsmart him and fly higher and say, devil, you can't get me in that place any longer. Okay? Eagles have always symbolized freedom, strength, and power. Now, if you're trying to win a loss to Christ, you're going to have to know what true freedom is in Christ. You're going to have strength, and you're going to have power. You're going to have to be able to show this to people. They are considered the kings of the sky, eagles are, and were adopted by several ancient cultures. Ancient Roman armies carried golden eagle banners, which represented the honor and strength of the empire and a symbol of that country's leadership and immortality. We should have that too. Scandinavian mythology is rife with images of the powerful bird. Ancient Hebrew culture revered eagles as mighty warriors and cared fiercely for their young. Eagles care their they care fiercely for their young. A new convert is a baby in Christ. It's a young baby in Christ. Are we going to be fierce enough to take that baby under our arms, under our wings, whichever you want to say, and baby them and nurture them until they can stand on their own 2 feet? So, I said, ancient Hebrew culture revered eagles as mighty warriors and cared fiercely for their young. Eagles carry their eaglets to safety away from the threat of predators. See what we're going to have to do? If we're eagles... Now, for chickens, we won't do nothing. But if we're eagles, we're going to do this. We're going to keep the new baby safe. Eagles are also known for their strength and courage in dangerous, turbulent weather, soaring above storm clouds and to safety. Where did God tell us when we're in the storm? Run to the eye of the storm. Even Moses likened God to an eagle in his final words to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 32:10 said, "He found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye." As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. God wants to take you in his arms and soar into the heavenlies with him. Quit being a chicken. I saw something ran across something said they said quit being a turkey and become the eagle that God has called us forth to become. Yet the United States declared the bald eagle its national bird in 1792 due to the eagle's long lifespan and majestic presence. Do we have the presence of God around us and in us? When you're ministering to these little young eaglets, you know, that God's sending in, is the presence of God with you? You know, does the presence of God that's in you set them free? Does it cause the demons to flee? You know? Or are you just an ordinary little chicken, just walking around making no difference to anything? You really have to think about this. What are you really? We notice that Moses described the eagle differently than other cultures. While most people focus on the bird's strength and power, Moses chooses to focus on its gentleness. As it turns out, there is more to the eagle than meets the eye. Jessica Britt, the Gospel Coalition, recently shared how this bird of prey can actually serve as a metaphor for God's love. All right, so over here I said, while most people focus on the bird's strength and power, Moses chooses to focus on its gentleness. We have to have power, we have to have authority, but we have to have mercy. Because your little eaglet that you're going to be attending to isn't going to get it together overnight. And you're going to have to be able to show them mercy and grace until they grow up. All right? You yourself are a strong eagle with power and authority. But that little eaglet hasn't learned any of that yet. So it's up to you to show them God's love and grace. All right, Britt begins with tenderness. She says, strength, tenacity, a keen sense of vision, swiftness of flight, intelligence, loyalty, and many other celebrated attributes characterize eagles. This is what you should be. Let's read that again. Strength, tenacity, a keen sense of vision, swiftness of flight, intelligence, loyalty, and many other celebrated attributes characterize eagles. Do you carry those characters? Are those characteristics in you? Less commonly known but equally notable is the tenderness they show their young, a surprising characteristic for such fierce birds of prey. Parent eagles invest in, nurture, and vigilantly watch over their young. During incubation, one parent remains in the nest at all times to provide warmth and protection for the developing eaglet. So therefore, that's telling me if we are eagles, then we're working with a young eaglet, then we have to have somebody else helping also, so that when you can't minister to them, the other person can. All right? The other parent hunts, supplies, provision, and keeps a watchful eye from nearby, a pattern that continues even after the eaglet hatches. Now, when I read that, I thought about when I'm mentoring somebody, I can't always be with them. I can't always see them, but I can sure pray for them and seek God's face about them, even if they're not in my presence. And then if I'm really doing my job of mentoring, then God will say, you need to pray. They're going astray again. So it's not my job to come and say, what are you doing? It's my job to pray and ask God to send ministering angels to them to minister to them. All right. But come on now. I get upset when I've been mentoring you for a while and you still keep doing the same things over again. I like to take you and shake your liver loose, but that's not what God says. He says, pray. And I'm not the only one that feels like that either. Come on now. But if I've mentored you for 40 years and you're still doing your dumb stuff, then I really do want to shake your liver loose. Okay, where am I at here? Like a parent eagle tenderly meeting every need, so the Lord of hosts hovers over his people and protects us. In Isaiah 31:5 says, like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve it. God is going to keep you in the palms of his hands. And you need to quit complaining because he's having you minister to somebody that just doesn't want to get it right yet. Because one time you were there and you just need to understand that God's not only going to preserve you, but he's going to preserve the little eaglet that he has put in your care. All right, he provides for our every need. God does. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He never leaves nor forsakes us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I think we all forget that little phrase. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. Okay, and I used to always say if I was in battle, I wouldn't want you in the little ditch with me because you'd leave me. But God doesn't leave you nor forsake you. When he goes, when you take him with you, he stays the course. All right? So quit depending on people. An eagle does not depend on people. Excuse me, they know who they are, they know their strength, they know their power, and that's what they rely on. We know God, we know the strength and the power we have through God, and he's the one that we rely on, not our next door neighbor. They will let you down. All right, defenders. She said, I once saw a bald eagle do battle with another large bird over a stretch of river. The two birds locked talons and spiraled downward toward the water, only breaking away at the last minute before resuming the attack. Eventually, after several minutes of aerial combat, the other bird conceded defeat and flew away. I later discovered the eagle had built its nest nearby and the parent had been defending its nest from a potential predator. But the parent didn't give up and give in to the devil. He stayed and fought until the devil left. So when you're ministering to somebody, you don't leave them just because the enemy still has them locked in his hold. You stay with him and you fight the battle for them. Boy, right now I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Come on, every one of you can say there's times you just want to just forget you. You know, because you worked and worked and worked and worked, and there you don't see anything moving, but, you know, you can't do that, though. I've been there and done that. I had to go to the mercy seat and repent and then move on. So that's what you do. You go to the mercy seat, you repent, and you move on and say, all right, God, give me the strength. And then you don't want to beat their head in. You just want to show them love and mercy. Amen. Scripture teaches us that the Lord is a defender. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our rock and our salvation. In 2 Samuel 22:3, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. See that? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. That's in 2 Samuel 22:3-4. I will call upon my Lord, and then I'll be safe from my enemies. Even in the midst of danger, we can take comfort, knowing He will always remain to protect and bolster His children. I fall short in that every now and then. I forget that God's with me, and He's protecting me, and He's taking care of me. And I'm being honest. You don't have to be honest. You can just say you never do that. And, you know, the battle really gets rough, you know, and you've just about, but you're not only fighting one battle, you're fighting five. And you just sit down and say, you know. But we need to get out of that vein. I need to get out of that vein, because then I have to repent again, you know, and that's a waste of time. If I just get my act together, I won't have to keep going back to the mercy seat. You understanding that? And God doesn't, an eagle doesn't do that, by the way. He doesn't keep coming down to the enemy's level. He stays up there in the high places with Christ. All right, stirring the nest. Eventually, parent eagles return to the nest less frequently and with less food. When parents do return, they may thrash about, removing the comforts lining the nest. Out of desperation, bewildered, frustrated, and confused, the eaglet moves branches out of the nest and begins to test her wings. Frustration, hunger, and discomfort are their intention. This is why we feel uncomfortable with God. We've gotten too comfortable. He's been feeding us. He's been ministering to us, you know, and we just settled in that little nest of comfort. And He's, okay, you're too comfortable. Now I got to nudge you a little bit and get you out of that nest. And this is what the parent eagles do. The parents wisely know that without this disruptive environment, their young will not grow, learn, and develop the essential skills for survival. And that's us, guys. All right? That's when we was little eaglets, sitting in a little nest of comfort. But God finally says, it's time to grow up. And smack, He knocks you right out of the nest. And there you go, flapping your wings and screaming and carrying on, you know. And the parents of the eagles, they go down and they'll pick them up and bring them up. But one day they don't do that. And the eaglet has to just learn how to keep flapping. And I think sometimes that's what we need to do, learn how to keep flapping our wings. So, though the eaglet does not understand this at the time, the lack of food and removal of comfort is an act of tender care and love. All right, so you might love somebody very much, you know. And I don't mean husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, but you just might love somebody very much. And all of a sudden, God separates you from that person. And there you stand all alone. God knows that you need that separation, because what you've done is become attached to them, and you like them taking care of you, and you like them praying for you, and you know all that stuff. And God says, no, I need you detached, because I need you to look to me for all that you have need of. So if all of a sudden one of your friends is gone, don't get excited. God wants you to move on. He wants you to grow up, and He wants you to start trusting Him. All right, so then I said, though the eaglet does not understand this at the time, the lack of food and removal of comfort is an act of tender care and love, a gift of provision by her parents, who know that without the ability to fly, she cannot survive and thrive. Guys, if you don't become eagles, you're not going to make it. This thing down here on earth that we're walking in is not the place where God ever meant us to be. We are supposed to thrive in heavenly places. And until we get there to that place, you're not going to move. You're not going to become all that God's calling you for to become. It's a job to try to get out of this place and get up there into heavenly places. And if it isn't for you, well, thank God. Amen. But the struggle is there because God is trying to grow character in you. He's trying to strengthen you, and He's trying to make you more like His Son, Jesus. It's not to punish you. It's to make you a better eagle than you were before He started with you. All right, unbeknownst to the eaglet, the parents are giving her the gift of flight. and the gift of life. Faith for the Christian is like flight for an eagle, essential to survive and thrive. So God is trying to get us to have faith in Him, to trust Him in all areas of our life. Scripture teaches us that those who hope in the Lord will soar on wings like eagles, and that's in Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord, that's the biggest problem in the house of God. People don't know how to wait on the Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That was the first scripture God ever gave me when I became born again. He gave me that right off the bat so I would know that I had to wait on the Lord. And that's where everything I was going to receive from that point on was going to come from God and not man. Are you understanding this? This verse is the conclusion of a chapter detailing the greatness of God. It reminds the reader that the strongest of men may stumble and fall. Who? The strongest of men may stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord have a strength that this world cannot offer. You might stumble and fall, but you will get back up again, I guarantee you. You might, when you fall, sit there a little bit and squall and bawl and carry on like a fool, but then wisdom kicks in and you say, get up. Get up out of this mess and walk on. I'm not the only one that's going through these trying times. Are you understanding? When we see an eagle in flight soaring on invisible air currents, we can be reminded that the Creator who supplies the eagle strength will also strengthen those who call upon His name. Now, how many of you in here, just think about this, you know that you were in places where if God didn't show up, it was done. You've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting, and all of a sudden you had no more strength to fight. And so you just start crying out to God. If you watched that video about the man who was dead for 11 hours and went to hell, when the devil was trying to pull him down into hell, he cried out to God for the first time in his life. But see, he had no strength, and he knew that if God didn't show up, somehow, somewhere, he knew that if God didn't show up, he was done. And I really believe that sometimes we get in that fix too. We get down there so far, and the enemy keeps beating and beating and beating on us, and we know that if God doesn't show up, we're finished. Right? I mean, you can sit there and be as religious as you want to be and say you're never going to get in that spot, but you'll get there. Believe me, you'll get there. And when you get there, when you thought you weren't going to get there, when you get there, it'll totally shock the pants right off of you because you never thought you was going to get there. You thought you was above all that. And God had to prove to Satan that even though when he got you there, you was going to be able to stand back up again. Are you understanding that? God will let you be tested and tried in all areas of your life. He will. That's why you're being tested and tried, because the enemies come and say, well, if you let me do this to them, they won't serve you. But God will say, go ahead. Sometimes I wished he didn't know my name. But I'm glad he does. And I'm glad he's with me through it all. And I'm glad that whenever I get to the place where I just think I can't make it, he gives me a good swift kick and says, get up and go on. All right. Puts me in mind of my daddy. He used to do that. He'd say, quit bawling and squalling and get up. Where am I at? Where am I at? Psalms 50:15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. See? I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Call upon me when? In the day of trouble. And he'll do what? Deliver you. And then what will happen? You'll get so excited, you'll run around and tell everybody of the wonderful thing God did for you, right? Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. See that? Seek him while he may be found. God only deals with people so long and then he walks away. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman and the Holy Spirit won't stay where he's not wanted. Then verse 7 said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's read that again. Let the wicked forsake his way. Sometimes we're wicked, us Christians. Sometimes we get wicked. You know, that's the times when the devil just, you know, keeps bombarding, right? Well, I'll say I am. I won't say you are. So anyhow, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You know, if we have bad thoughts, we're not godly, right? And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Years ago, I was preaching, and God spoke to me, daughter, return to your first love. Well, that blew my mind. I didn't know I'd left him. But as I went and I talked to him, I found out when I left him. Are you understanding this? And that's what he says here. Return to him, and he will have mercy on you. Today we can apply the principle of Isaiah 40:31 by trusting in God's sovereignty and waiting faithfully for him. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us, therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. All right? God is, in his grace, will provide power, strength, and courage to the weary, weak, and downtrodden when they are willing to be patient and wait on God. God in his grace will provide power, strength, and courage to who? The weary and the weak and the downtrodden when they are willing to be patient and wait on God. We're all these. There's time that we're all these. I'm sorry, guys. We're not God. We're not Jesus. We're not the Holy Spirit. We're still flesh and blood human beings trying to work our way into heaven. Every day, hoping and praying and believing we won't fall. All right? So don't sit around and think you're all that and then some, because you're not. All right, for you and I, this is more than a promise of strength and renewal. It is a testament to the compassion and love of our Heavenly Father. He is a mighty God who knows our names and will never abandon or forsake us. God will cause us to mount up on eagle's wings. Now, I ran across this little eagle in the farmer. I always liked this. Is it up there? The next one. All right, let's read this. The eagle and the farmer. I don't know if I read it. That's awful small. Once upon a time, while walking through the forest, a farmer found a young eagle. The farmer took it home and put it in the barnyard, where it soon learned to eat chicken feed and to behave as chickens behave. One day, as the farmer was feeding the chickens, a naturalist walked past the farm. As she looked around at the scenery, she was shocked to notice an eagle in a barnyard. She called out to the farmer, "Excuse me, why is this eagle, the king of all birds, stuck in a barnyard with all these chickens? It's not right. Since I have given it chicken feed and trained it to be a chicken, it has never learned to fly," replied the farmer. "It behaves as chickens behave, so it is no longer an eagle. It's chickens. It is a chicken now." The farmer turned around to go back to work. Still insisting, the naturalist insisted the naturalist, "It has the heart of an eagle and can surely be taught to fly. Let's test it and find out whether this is possible," suggested the naturalist. The farmer agreed. Gently, the naturalist took the eagle in his arms and said, "You belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." That's talking to you and I right there. "Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle, however, was confused. He did not know who he was, and seeing the chickens eating their food, he jumped down to be with them again. And that's what's the problem with the body of Christ. They don't know who they are, right? Undismayed, the naturalist took the eagle on the following day up on the roof of the house and urged it again, saying, "You are an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." But the eagle was afraid of its unknown self in the world and jumped down once more for the chicken feed. On the third day, the naturalist rose early and took the eagle out of the barnyard to a high mountain. See, you have to remove yourself from your surroundings. There she held the king of birds high above her and encouraged it again, saying, "You are an eagle." I'm sorry, I just had a vision of you running around your bedroom. "I'm an eagle, I'm an eagle, I'm an eagle." When the devil's trying to make you believe you're still a chicken. I just had that just flashed before my eyes. Well, again saying, "You're an eagle. You belong to the sky as well as to the earth. Stretch forth your wings now and fly." The eagle looked around back towards the barnyard and up to the sky. Still it did not fly. Then the naturalist lifted the eagle straight towards the sun, and it happened that the eagle began to tremble. Slowly it stretched out its wings. At last, with a triumph cry, it soared away into the heavens. Isn't that a beautiful story? I like that. When I was teaching back in 2005, I read that too. So, what are you? Are you a chicken? Or are you an eagle? Do you want to soar into heavenly places? Or are you content just to walk this earth and never do anything great for God? You know, you're going to have to take chances in life. You know, when God calls you to do something and you don't understand, you're just going to have to move forward and do it by faith. And God will be there every time to pick you up. He will not let you fall, I promise you. Tonight, what God wants to ask you is, are you ready to be an eagle? Are you ready to fly into the heavenlies? You know, the eagle always flies towards the sun, you know, S-U-N. And God's calling us to fly towards the sun, S-O-N, tonight. He no longer wants you to be content in the chicken yard. You know, and that's the beggarly elements of this earth. He wants you to soar into the heavenlies and become the eagle that he's called you to be. If you truly want to become an eagle, come on up to the altar. God's ready to give you eagle wings so that you can soar into the heavenly places with him and conquer the enemy on all sides. Do you ever notice when an eagle's up in the air, they give this big screech as they're flying? It sounds powerful. The chicken just goes cluck, 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 cluck. But an eagle gets attention, doesn't he? And God's saying to tell you, he's not asking you something that you cannot do. If he couldn't do this thing, he would not be asking you to do it. God speaking to the whole church. He's saying, "I, the Lord thy God, I have brought you up into the secret chambers of my kingdom, and there I'm going to give you great revelation knowledge. You will have power and you will have authority like you've never had it before. For I'm taking you into that secret place that only a few can enter into. You see, there are some that will never become eagles. They are content just to sit. But children, I say unto you this night, you have a heart, have the heart of an eagle, and you desire to soar, and soar you will, higher than you ever soared before. And children, I say unto you, that because you came, because you sat and listened, I, the Lord thy God, I am touching you with a special anointing that will cause you to see revelation after revelation as you come up into the secret place of my kingdom. And you will go forth and you will be a book, and people will read you like a book, and you will show them heaven as it truly is. This is a resting place for you right now. And I don't mean you'll stop working, but you will come up into the heavenly place and you will rest at my feet, and I will teach you of my ways. So much has transpired in the days past, but you are now on a new journey, a journey with me, one that the church has never been on before. And on this journey, you will understand who I am, truly am, and who you truly are in me. And no longer will you go down and sit with the chickens and the turkeys, but you will soar in heavenly places continually. Your warfare will be also done in heavenly places. You will conquer on all sides because you have decided, I am an eagle. I can conquer all things, for I am a child of the Most High God, and He carries me on eagle's wings. You have been waiting and waiting and waiting, some not too patiently, but you've been waiting, and the day, the hour, and the second has arrived for this great transfer from chicken to eagle. And now you will soar, and you will minister freedom to the eaglets as they come into my house of worship, and you will lead them by the still waters, and you will see a great and mighty army being raised up to become the eagles all across the land. Some of you have sacrificed much to get to this place, and it is a great place of honor in my kingdom. But what you sacrifice will mean absolutely nothing to you, because you see where it has taken you to. My arms are always open wide to receive new eaglets into my kingdom. And children, you are my arms of love, compassion, and grace on this earth. Bring the harvest in. Bring the harvest in and raise them up in my strength, my might, my power. Teach them of my ways. Graduate them from eaglets to eagles, as I have done for you this night. This is a no-holds-bar war, and I am withholding nothing from you. I'm giving you every weapon of warfare that I have as I send you forth to defeat the enemy on all sides. And I'm just hearing God say, some of you will feel so naked and so undone as He plucks the chicken feathers out of you, so that you can have eagle wings and soar with the eagles. And He's saying, don't quit. Don't go backwards. Just allow God to do what it needs to do to give you eagle wings. I'm just hearing God say, even if you've transgressed my laws, if you brought that to the mercy seat, I have forgiven. And I'm ready to use you to bring heaven to earth and to save this depraved people that run to and fro, not knowing what to do or where to go. But you have knowledge and you have wisdom, and I will use you to minister to those who are so lost and so undone. And right now, God's just trying to give you a vision. Just let Him give you a vision right now. I can just see a field of beautiful red and red flowers, and with a gold road going down the middle of the flowers. And God says that we have become a sweet-smelling fragrance unto His nostrils as we walk with Him on the streets of gold. Now grab a hold of that vision, because it's going to be part of your ministry.
My daughter, I've come to meet you this night. I've heard your prayers to me tonight, and I've received them.
And God's just saying, for all those He didn't personally call out, He's saying all is well. You have graduated from an eaglet to an eagle. And He's bringing each one of you into a special place in His kingdom, where He will minister deep secrets unto you. And you will use those deep secrets to set people free. For this is a freedom rally that we are in. We are bringing the people out of darkness into light. And children, we are working together, you and I. And we are doing a great and a mighty works. And we are tearing down the kingdom of darkness. And bringing the children into the light where I so desired them to be.